and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, plenty to get into today. Hello, everybody. And welcome to the Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill with you, Jordan Kleber, buddy, back in the LaRose studios. We'll take your phone calls if you want to chime into the conversation. Got a lot to get into today. Last full week, Jordan, the month of June, next week, next Thursday, July. You know what that means, the month of July, don't you?
Saints training camp.
July 27th, that's when the league opens it up.
Yeah, it's either Wednesday, Thursday, kind of, you know, it's the last week of July that it'll be getting into here as well. So, looking forward to that. I don't think it has anything to do with Alvin Kamara getting a new job yesterday. Did you see that?
I did see that.
New job yesterday, huh? Congrats to Alvin.
Going in circles.
What? No, he's not racing.
Oh, I know he's not racing.
But, he's part of NASCAR now. They got his own office, his own badge and everything. It's part of what the promotions marketing sort of department over there. It's kind of nice, isn't it?
It is nice. His sister might have sent out a DM.
He's NASCAR's first growth and engagement advisor, looking to help the stock car series grow its fan base beyond the traditional racing fan. And, I had this to say yesterday.
I'm an employee now, man. I got a new job. So, yeah, man, I'm growth and engagement officer for NASCAR. So, I mean, I'm excited. They, you know, they carved out a role for me. I got an office, man. I got a key card. Like, I feel like I never had a job besides the NFL. So, I got two jobs now. I'm going to have to, Sean Payton, go ahead and give me some downtime. just a culmination of everything. I mean, I feel like guys feel more welcome and feel like they're able to kind of get involved with the sports more.
I love it. I think it's a tremendous idea. Jordan, it's kind of somewhat started essentially, right? He was asked to come one day, want to get involved in it, and, you know, dropped the green flag to a race over in Homestead, thought it was great, and then next thing you know, he was being a part of it, kind of got some ownership involved in it as well with the car, and now he's doing that. It's awesome to sort of see like that. It is funny, though. He did tweet at Sean Payton that he's going to have to talk about some time like that. Again, though, you could do a lot worse than having a member of your New Orleans Saints being out and about like that and touching and reaching a different demographic, sport, and things like that. So I love that. So congrats to him, though, because obviously, if you're ever around him, he's got tremendous personality, doesn't he? It's really good stuff, you know, to see that there as well. So we'll get into all of that and more. And yesterday, the race was on NBC. And, of course, they interviewed him there. And this is what he had to say on that.
Finally excited to be, you know, taking my relationship with NASCAR to the next level. Officially employed, growth and engagement advisor. So, I mean, definitely hype and excited, blessed to be associated that much more.
I mean, it's huge because, you know, for you, you've been to a handful of races, but the experience getting back out to the track, that's what it's all about. So how are you going to do that with your friends?
Yeah, man. So just within that role, we're just trying to strategically create and develop new opportunities for fan engagement. So I got a lot of ideas. I think NASCAR has a lot of ideas, and it'll be fun to get it going.
It's cool. Favorite part about being at the track for you?
Man, being down on the track when the engine starts, it's nothing like it. I mean, it's so loud, and every time they ask me if I want earplugs, I say no.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, man.
Yes, sir. No
Big
doubt.
Fan right here, Alvin Kamara, you guys.
There you go. And the best thing about it, though, Jordan, right there, right when that interview first started, you see right there at the bottom, New Orleans Saints running back. I love that.
You can hear the cars in the background.
Yeah, no, it's good, man. I'm telling you, I want to go really badly to one. I really, really want to go. I've never been. I want to, and it's something I want to
do. A few years ago, my dad went down to Talladega in a Winnebago with a bunch of his buddies.
My neighbors across the street, they do the – there's, a March, April one, and then an October one, and they've done that for years. I wouldn't mind doing the July 4th weekend one at Daytona.
Yeah, I would like to do
it. Which would be fun. So
maybe we can do that. We can rent a Winnebago.
We're not renting a Winnebago.
Could you imagine that?
No, live. I can absolutely not
live
imagine.
From the mobile Winnebago.
No, we're good. No, I'd rather maybe do it like from a, you know,
call the
water,
show
water side or beach side, you know, bar or a restaurant than a Winnebago. Jordan,
you know,
let me plan it. You just show up and get the show ready. How about that?
I'm down for it. I'll get the contacts ready.
You'll get the contacts ready? Okay, great. Huge story in the world of deportes when it comes to the NCAA. There was a big decision made today in the Supreme Court. Now, to try to explain it as best as we can, because Jordan, you were trying to ask me about it, and it's
a lot of law.
The best way to kind of look at it like this, it didn't strike down amateurism in college sports, but it's being seen as a path to perhaps the model as we know today, the NCAA, is going to go by the wayside. Justice Kavanaugh, recently, you know, put in there by President Trump, was actually the harshest critic. First off, it was a unanimous decision. This is based a ruling on a case where several former college players sued the NCAA on this, and they got to see this case all the way up to the Supreme Court. Essentially, and I'll read bits and pieces on it, but Justice Kavanaugh absolutely basically said the following here, that in any other business in this country, the practices and how the NCAA operates with its quote-unquote student-athletes would violate basically antitrust laws. That's massive. Almost immediately after this ruling, Ross Dellinger, you hear him on Matt Moscona's show all the time, used to cover LSU here, award-winning writer over there for Sports Illustrated, basically said, as this is coming out, as the ruling, like, and people are reading it almost immediately, the Power Five presidents, AD schools, they started drafting, you know, name, image, and likeness. Let us each write our own thing and things of that nature. So they're trying to get into this. What it essentially does is it allows for schools to laptops, be able to say you can get a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then as opposed to where you couldn't and stuff. Now, again, it's per state, which is why it's not seen as a sweeping the NCAA's over thing, but it leads the pathway to it, if that makes any sense. One of the things that it essentially does is it provides an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated. And again, as I mentioned, it opens the door for future legal challenges that essentially could deal a really big blow to the NCAA. ESPN's story says this, and again, this was a district court decision already, and it upheld it, the Supreme Court, that the NCAA was violating antitrust laws by placing limits on the education-related benefits that schools can provide to athletes. The decision allows schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it's somewhat connected to their education. Now, obviously, again, the size of your school, the size of your conference, it's going to detail how this sort of goes from here on out. It's what I've always said. Name, image, and likeness, which is why you're seeing these schools all of a sudden quickly trying to draft, hey, let us build our own name, image, and likeness rules and things of that nature that we can apply to, rather than have the government tell us what each is. So you're going to see quickly the Power Five conferences draft bylaws and rules and what you can, what you can't do and things of that nature. But Justice Kavanaugh wrote, the NCAA is not above the law. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in most any other industry in America. And again, it is a 9-0 ruling. And you know this. I mean, we don't have to be a political show working for any of the 24-hour cable news networks. When's the last time the Supreme Court for something like this sees it unanimously? They can't agree on anything, right? It's always the majority of decision, which is why whatever power is in office at the time, they try to, you know, put in their own side of the view of people into the Supreme Court to sway it, because it, you need a majority. This was 9-0. This was unanimous. So it's interesting when you look at it, and what does it mean? Look, everyone's weighing in on this as well. Again, this happened kind of mid-morning, and it just really depends how you view it in a lot of different aspects of it. So here's what Charles Barkley said earlier today. He was on ESPN talking about, obviously, all of the different things that happened in the playoffs. We're going to get into that next segment, the NBA postseason. My gosh, what's going on in Philly? The news that Woj just broke, two candidates kind of emerging as the favorites in Portland. Remember, we made that list last week. There's seven NBA jobs. Where are the Pelicans in that, you know, hierarchy, I guess, or ranking? But this is what Charles said about a ruling like this today.
If I'm a high school kid, then this is what really concerns me the most, especially for the NBA kid. If I'm only going to go to college for 1 year, where can I sell the most jerseys? Where can I get a car deal? No, I'm going to Duke, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky. I'm not going to a smaller school. I've only got to be there for 6 months. How can I maximize my money potential? I think it's really going to escalate between the haves and the have-nots.
It's what I've always said here as well, which is, again, a lot of people view as the money that these schools do put in, as opposed to what the students do and don't get. I get that. But I've always said, at the same time, where is that going to come from? And I'm only 45 years old. But Jordan, I think even in your, 21 going on 22 years?
Mm-hmm. 22 going on 23.
Wow, already?
Yeah.
Jeez, I felt like yesterday you were just turning 21.
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, you're old, dude.
I know.
I didn't realize that. You're going to be 23?
Yeah.
It's never enough, is it?
No.
Do you ever feel like you got enough money?
No.
Do you think you'll ever have enough money?
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, what is going to be enough? And where are you going with this? Are we hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars? Like, let's say you're, and again, I'm just using this for example, Arch Manning or somebody like one of the top players in all of the coming into college. Like, is it literally who gives the most, who gets hooked up the most with the family? And can it be uniform? Because I'm telling you, not every school is going to be able to do or compensate what others are. So that's why I've always said name, image, and likeness matters. And to Chuck's point, the bigger your school, the more notoriety, the better they are. Sure, you're going to get a potential. I mean, obviously, if you have fan bases where their home football stadiums are 100,000, that's going to be different than a school that plays at a 25,000-seat stadium, right? Probably a larger fan base, things of that nature. So you can do that. But is that any really different than you are now, except you're going to get that money? Some counter-arguments I'm seeing to this. Schools are going to maybe counter this by saying, all right, well, if you monetize, like you go to a professional athlete, you have to pay back that scholarship. And I don't know if you're ever going to get that, you know? Here's something that I saw brought up on social media as well. If schools are going to not have as much money from TV deals and all that stuff and then have to give them to the athletes, you can expect your tickets to go up.
Yep.
I mean, that's going to happen.
Your drinks.
$10? It's just like anything 20. Else in business. And I'm not a business major, but you want to raise wages, it gets passed on to you. I just don't know how else to say it. I mean, football and basketball and your top schools, they get all the notoriety for all the money they make, but they also do pay for the majority of the other sports in the athletic department. So If that gets smaller, then the money has to come from somewhere else. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do it. That doesn't mean there won't be enough to do it. Just won't be as much. But those wanting kids to get compensated financially to play sports, big ruling today in their favor. Love to get your opinion on that. We'll talk NBA playoffs as well. Minimal guest, Andrea Legretta, new voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. They play again tonight. They're 1-0 over there in Omaha. He'll join us at 105. Raphael, 115. Marlon, 215. That's it. Rest of the way, want to touch on a lot of different topics. So 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. NOLA, Jordan's question of the day coming up. It's a sports hangover, hour one on ESPN New Orleans.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford Service Department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
If you put a stack of $100 bills and a piece of wood in front of a Formosan termite, what would it eat? Both. They're swarming here and they're hungry. Call Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys. They can treat your home and save you thousands of dollars in damage. Don't let Formosan termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminex today.
So call those Bayou Boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003, a pair of questions of the day. Jordan Kleber will give you here in a quick second. Happy Father's Day to everybody. That was super cool today. Was cutting a little something for Terry back over at our offices, and Jordan, my son, grabbed the recorder and created a rejoiner for me.
And now back to my daddy's show, The Sports Hangover.
That's awesome.
Isn't that adorable?
That's awesome.
Yeah, you put a little music to that.
I'm like, give me
another take just to make sure you got
and
it.
And now back to my daddy's show. The Sports Hangover.
There we go. I mean, he enunciates pretty good.
No, that was amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll work on that.
No,
you know,
that's definitely got to be one of our rejoiners.
Yeah, no, look, I love Father's Day, obviously. You know me, dude. It was great. Got to hang out with Dad, got to hang out with him yesterday, watched Luca, the new Pixar movie over in Disney Plus, and it was fun. What'd you do for Father's Day?
Well, we had a good time. We just kind of just sat around. Mm-hmm. We had a couple beverages. Me and my dad just sat out on the porch, and just kind of talking.
Did you watch some NBA basketball?
We did what we did. That's what we mainly spent the majority of our weekend on, watching some sports and
basketball. Did you play general manager or vice president of basketball operations of your New Orleans?
My dad said, did have some things to say. Why can't the Pelicans do this? We won't get into that. But very interesting stuff over the weekend. And can't wait to discuss it over the next 3 hours because there's a lot to get into.
Yeah, former players, coaches, players, things of that nature for sure. Two questions of the day that Jordan's going to have for you, and then we'll get to John.
Yeah, so, Gus, what you were just talking about, what do you take away from today's ruling? You comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003. And also for the second question, I saw on Twitter the NBA will have a first-time champion, as neither the Atlanta Hawks, the Bucks, Suns, nor Clippers have won a title since the NBA-ABA merger.
Wow.
So with that being said, and Pelicans fans seeing those four teams, you know, get to the Eastern Conference Final and the Western Conference Finals, what are your takeaways? What do the Pelicans have to do in order to get to that point in the season?
John, thank you for calling the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you today?
Hey. I was just listening, and I think I heard what Charles Barkley said this morning, and I think what he's trying to say is the Big Five conferences, they can offer kids a whole lot more than some of the smaller conferences, because when you talk about the money that those conferences make a year, you're not talking in hundreds of thousands. You're talking about a couple of billions that they make a year to spread around to the schools in those conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid is going to say, well, where can I go where I can maximize the money that's going to be put in my pocket without people having to slide it under the table to me? You know, I think kids are about tired of that, too. You know, they want a piece of the pie, but they're also tired of the back under the table stuff that has to be done for them to get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm kind of glad, too, because I've read a lot of things about basketball in the NCAA where the coaches have shoe contracts and stuff like that. And the kids, you know, like you say, you got to slide them something under the table. And I'm kind of glad for that. And as far as I was listening to, me and a guy was talking about this last night at work about the Pelicans. I would hope that they can open the pocketbooks up and put some blank checks out there and see if they can get somebody like Chauncey Billups or somebody like that to come down here and coach this team. But if you do get a fellow like Chauncey Billups down here, what went on with Van Gundy? The players on that team are going to have to play defense. Mm-hmm. Chauncey's not going to play that, because you know the teams he played in on in Detroit played defense. And I think that's the biggest problem Van Gundy had with some of the players on that team, pushing them too hard to play defense, you know, and stuff. But we were talking about the Atlanta Hawks. Everybody is talking about whether or not Atlanta is going to hire the intern coach, Nate McMillan? Well, they would be crazy now if they let Nate McMillan out of Atlanta.
Let me tell you something. He would not have interim next to his name this morning if I'm the Atlanta Hawks.
That's
ownership.
What I'm trying to say, too.
Because I'll be honest, if I'm Nate McMillan, if you haven't offered me something, I'm like, gotcha. I'll talk to you at the end of the year now at the playoffs, and whatever you thought you were giving me, add three.
Add three or four to whatever you wanted to pay,
because I promise you, if he said, I'm not coming back, they would be teams at the, what do you want? Because what he has done, Mike Conley, we had on last week, part of the Hawks Radio Network, he simply tweeted this last night, and he's covered a ton of sports. He's the voice of United, does the, you know, Hawks, Falcons. He worked here for several years at WWL. That's how I know him. He said it's the greatest midseason turnaround he's ever seen in sports. And it's hard for me to try to argue with that, because, again, there were, 12 games below 500 or something when they decided to fire their coaching.
That's why they fired the coach.
Yes, and then this guy comes in. But you brought up something, John. It's going to lead into our discussion today over the next 2 hours and 15 minutes now we got left. Because that's what I was talking to Jordan about yesterday while we were watching this game and we're texting back and forth, that – I'm watching these four teams that are left. You got Suns and Clippers in the West, Hawks and Bucks in the East.
Yep.
And all of their coaches, John, you just brought this up. They preach not only defense, but basketball IQ, toughness, mentality. And you hear toughness, after a game when they do their post-game interviews of these players, Trae Young, coach, always tells us to be tough-minded, be calm in these moments. That's why he's been teaching us this from midseason. All of this stuff. You hear Monty Williams say, our defense did that. You see during the game who's mic'd up. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton are out there, and they're spurring their team on. And Jordan, are they young players?
Actually, this is their first time in the playoffs
together. And they're playing like a veteran team. So I'm with Jordan now. I don't want to hear these players are young anymore out of David Griffin's mouth. You either
have it or you don't.
And John, here's the other element of it, to the point you just said. Everything I'm hearing from these players or these coaches during the quarter break interviews that you get is exactly what Stan Van Gundy was trying to preach and do. So I'm confused because that's literally what he was trying to do and do those things and say those things, yet these players weren't receptive to it. So whoever you're going to hire is probably going to come in and say the same things. Now, is he going to say it differently? Or are you going to have different players that are receptive to it? But you can't just redo the entire roster. I mean, you can tinker and stuff, but you're not bringing in 14 new players.
And I said this to him, too, and me and him talk. I go back to the Showtime Lakers. They ran up and down the court. They were putting up 125, 130 points on people back then. But in the playoffs, when they had to play defense, they played defense. Kareem, Worthy, they would take Scott out and put Cooper in. They could play defense, too, when they had to. And that's why they won five championships in the 80s. They could do it all. But at the same time, I don't get it with people and players. Some of them, it looks like they just don't want to play defense. I would take it personal if I'm on the team and I scored 125, 126 points in the game and we lost. Yeah. I would take that personal. But I'm not making the kind of money they're making either. So that's what it's got to be what it's all about. But Chauncey Billups or somebody like that, if he comes here to coach this team, they're going to have to play defense too because he's going to want them to play defense.
I'll say this, man, and again, we're going to go into it here in a quick second, but just give me this in about 30 seconds if you can, John. Give me one common denominator. Is it defense? What else do you see from the four remaining teams? Hawks, Bucks, Suns, Clippers. Like, what is one thing that all four teams have?
Well, when you look at the Suns, they have experience at the point guard. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a point guard that's just not going to throw the ball all over the court anyway. He's going to make sure he's going to take care of the ball. And they have a system where they know what they're doing and they know what they have to do. They really do. When they step out there on that court, it's almost like they all know just what they have to do. The coach don't have to get mad at them in a timeout or something like that. And like I say, you got experience in a lot of the positions. I mean, they just need stability at the point guard. The Pelicans really need a stable point guard, a smart, stable point guard to go with the talent they have. And I think you'll see them improve if they got that. I'm not saying anything bad against Alonzo Ball or the other guys, but they need somebody that's just not going to throw the ball away. Not just going to put up with the ball being turned over 20 sometimes a game. Yeah. It just that's the way it is. Yeah. All right, bro.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you so much. 800-998-1003. Again, it's going to be very interesting to see where the Pel search sort of goes. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski did tweet this a little bit ago, and it is.
Yeah, so Becky Hammon and Chauncey Billups among the finalists for the Blazers head coaching job. So two big – one name that you know the Pelicans were kind of looking out for because I think over the weekend Chauncey Billups' name was in the running. And now you see they're looking at Becky Hammon and Chauncey Billups as, you know, two of the finalists. So if you're a Pelicans fan, you might want to be looking out for this news because – it could change some things of who's going to be your next head coach.
No doubt. Quick break. We come back. Somebody tweeted something last night that might shed a little light as to where maybe they're looking as well, huh? And we hadn't touched about it. I see you wearing your shirt. Are you wearing your shirt in support of your 1 year there? Are you wearing your shirt in support of trying to find out who's going to be the next head baseball coach at
LSU?
Yeah. Are you wearing the polo today?
It was readily available.
Wow. You know, that attitude right now is basically the way the head coaching position sort of feels. We'll touch on who got a contract extension yesterday, plus much more. Don't go anywhere. It's Hour 1, where it is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING, where you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Today's pros need today's tools, and nobody understands that better than the Home Depot. Our app makes it simpler to get supplies ordered and delivered. Our online project calculators cut guesswork and last-second supply runs. Job site delivery puts what you need where and when you need it. And rental puts the right equipment in your hands, but not your overhead. That's how today's pros get more done. New tech, new tools, old-fashioned hard work. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
In 6 miles to Chicago, we got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I gotta tell you, Twitter was a joy last night for a little bit after the Sixers-Hawks game.
Here's Simmons. Is he going to take a fourth quarter shot? Gets by Gallinari, gives it up to Thybul, goes into a double, gets the contact and the whistle. As he got both Collins and Gallinari off their feet with 3:29 to go in the fourth quarter.
Kessie, you asked if he's going to take a shot. He should have. He's right under the rim.
I thought this was a joke. But Ben Simmons, who, let's be honest, in his 1 year here at LSU, right? It's a game or two where you're just like, where did he go? Sort of disappeared. We know the game we're talking about. Do you know he was 0-for-0 in field goals in the fourth quarter? Not just yesterday, Jordan. In his last four games, he's a max player that's so bad at shooting free throws, they literally take him out late in the game. Max player, starting point guard. Can't shoot free throws. I'm at an absolute loss. Jordan, it's one thing to not make a shot in the fourth quarter. We know we saw this year, Brandon Ingram sometimes struggle in the fourth. Other players, we get it. He didn't take a shot. That highlight you just played, Joel Embiid after the game referenced it with about four to play. And he thought that the game turned around on that. Listen to what he said after the game.
I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was just, you know, we had an open shot and, you know, we made one free throw and we missed the other and then they came down and scored. And We didn't get a good possession on the other end, and Trey came back and he made a three, and then from there, down four, and then I go, it's on me, I turn the ball over, and try to, you know, make something happen.
Now, he got crushed by some fans saying, hey, you know, you're turned over with a buck something. He did own it. He did say he turned it over. But, oh, my goodness. But I don't know how else he has every right to say that. Say what you want about Joel Embiid. That dude played with a meniscus tear. He tweeted that this morning. He's like, that's why I'm playing. I'm trying to go play through. And he put up points. How in the bleep can you not shoot? Now, in the last four games, he didn't take a single shot in the fourth quarter. He's a max player, as in one of the highest paid on your team. Max player.
When he was coming into the league, everyone was comparing him to the next LeBron.
I didn't see it. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what you're saying. Look, again, but you saw that attitude here at LSU. You saw it. Over the last seven games, because he did actually shoot in the fourth quarter, Jordan.
He made some points. He had some points.
Go ahead, Jordan.
So in game one, he was 2 for 2 from field goals in the fourth quarter. In game two, he completely left the arena. Was not, you know, could have been sitting on the sidelines for all we know.
Yeah, fourth quarter.
Game three, put up 2 points.
There it is. Got a shot. One for
in
one.
In the fourth quarter.
One for one.
Game. And then, like you said, the final four. Didn't even attempt a shot.
I'm at an absolute loss.
So he scored 6 points throughout the entire series in the fourth quarter.
Look, I've seen some jokes about, you know, we have a caller who consistently references how it's a certain Pelicans team member that would elevate anybody, any sport, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, to the championship level if they just trade four, right? Who's harder to trade? I mean, who's trading him? Who is trading for Ben Simmons? Like, I said this today, and I think I was saying it to you or the guys last night. I'm like, in all honesty, that general manager, I'm a team owner, that VP comes into my office and says that, I'm going to have serious concerns about any other decisions you make. Because you cannot, there's not a single thing you could do right now. And I'm not living just because I just saw this. Sell me why I should trade for Ben Simmons.
Are you asking me?
Yes. What's the first thing? That's what I'm saying. Like, what would be the first thing out of your mouth?
Well, personally, like, just put it out there. I do not want Ben Simmons.
I understand it, but that's what I'm saying. What is a selling point to a guy that cannot shoot, and I don't want to hear, okay, the defense and the size. Okay, he can't shoot.
I mean, he was in his own head. Like, you
oh
could,
my God.
When he was at the line,
the highlight,
you could tell.
The highlight we played, if you didn't watch the game, he's backing up a defender starting from the arc on the left wing area. He gets to the block. He's by the paint. He's now booty bopped them under the rim. He spins. He loses his guy. He is literally alone under the paint, under the basket. He could bunny hop straight up and dunk it. He instead passes it to a guy that's covered, that has to come from the left block across the paint, gets fouled, he only makes one free throw. That's why Embiid is like, "What? You're under the basket." Like, he could have just jumped up and kissed it off the glass. He could have dunked it. That guy has athleticism. We've seen him dunk. Like, he didn't want to touch the ball anywhere that involved a shot. I've never seen anything like it.
And I think after he missed the free throws, he was like one.
Now, mind you, the biggest running joke coming into the season, too, he's only made like 3 three-pointers in his career. Like, he doesn't even shoot a three. He doesn't even attempt it. But in this, again, listen to me. 4 straight games, he doesn't attempt a shot in the fourth quarter. Your team's playing 5-on-4. Jordan, I asked John, give me a common denominator in the teams that are remaining. What have I been saying all playoffs? Ollie's going to come in this week, and we're going to check. You better have a shooter.
Yeah.
And you better have a guy in that backcourt that can do so.
A common factor with all these teams, you have to have the right attitude. Like you were saying kind of earlier, I mean, you hear guys like Trae Young, the whole team's just level-headed. Everyone knows what the mission is. Everyone knows where they want to get to. And for the 76ers, I mean, that's kind of what their downfall was. I mean, they just – the mental space was just not there for them, and they couldn't push it through.
Kevin Pelton covers the 76ers in Philly. Is the Ben Simmons era over?
I think we're entering the last stages of it. I wouldn't necessarily expect, even if they lose today, a move this offseason, because it's just a matter of waiting for that right opportunity to come along, and it's not clear that there's going to be a star player who gets traded this summer. So, you know, as long as Damian Lillard's in Portland and Bradley Beal's in Washington and there's some uncertainty about their futures in those two spots, I don't think you can trade Simmons for a secondary star, even if, you know, that player looks like a better fit alongside Joel Embiid for the rest of the Sixers, because, you know, your best chance of winning a championship is getting one of those superstar caliber players to pair with Joel Embiid. So as long as they're out there, I think the Sixers wait on it. But definitely, you know, if there was any question about whether to pull the trigger on a move like that, I think this year's postseason has kind of answered that.
Again, who is trading for him?
I mean, to kind of add to it as well, ESPN Stats and Info tweeted out last night, with a minimum of 70 attempts, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons' 34% free throw percentage this postseason is the worst in a postseason in NBA history.
Magic Johnson was on ESPN this morning on Get Up and a guest host on First Take.
Ben, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
It's time for a change because he can't recover from this. The locker room won't recover from it. Mm. And so when they went to the Hacker Shack, basically, the Hacker Simmons,
mm-hmm. yeah,
that just killed him.
I've never seen anything like that. That is a starting. Think about that, because as Magic went on to say that morning, and he's speaking about it right now, Jordan, he's your point guard.
Yeah,
like his job is to handle the ball the most of anyone.
And Doc Rivers actually had some very harsh words. I mean, it's not what he said.
Which one? Simmons struggles or championship point guard?
Championship point guard.
All right, then I'll get to Shane here.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
Now, he got criticism for that because Doc Rivers also is fighting some demons. He hasn't won game sevens on his home court. He blew the 20. Now, again, everyone wants to say this is on Doc. You literally have players that aren't, I mean,
afraid to shoot the ball.
I don't know what do you want Doc to do?
And everyone was questioning his rotation and how they're doing it with, you know, Ben Simmons not putting up his performance. But at the same, you're going to put, you paid the guy a max contract. You can't fault him for putting out a max contract guy.
I think that is
guy.
As honest an answer as he can give you. Is he a championship point guard? I can't give you that answer. And that's actually nice.
And if you said something else, then they get PO'd for saying, well, were you not
watching
the game?
How do you tell me that's a championship? Yeah. I mean, I can't understand that.
Anyway.
Shane, thanks for calling us here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you? Hello, Shane? Hello?
You can hear me?
Yeah, can hear you now. What's up, man?
Oh, I was watching the Suns game last night, and I got in a debate with a guy on Facebook. We were talking about Brandon Ingram. He said Brandon Ingram can do everything that the kid that had the good game last night.
Devin Booker? Kevin Herter?
I started thinking about it. And, you know, people say you have it, and nobody knows what it is. But I was telling the guy, Devin Booker has it, and Ingram just doesn't have it. Like, he has that Michael Jordan killer, and he was like, well, what did he do? I didn't see anything he did that was so much better than what Brandon Ingram. I said, his point guard is out. He goes for a triple-double. He scores 30 points straight in a row when his team needed him to, and Brandon Ingram just can't do that yet. I don't know if that's something that he can develop, or but mm-hmm. I think that's in you. You have it or you don't have it. And I'm so ready for football season because I'm spending too much time thinking about how I can fix the Pelicans. So
Shane, how we fixing the Pelicans, Shane? How we fixing? What's your latest theory?
I'm creating Brandon Ingram and his partner in crime, Eric Bledsoe, and getting us a player that has it. Mm-hmm. before, I never thought about trading Brandon Ingram, but if you could get a deal for somebody that has the it, and I don't know what the it is.
Right.
I can't describe it. I can't tell you, but you know the person. Lillard has it. Booker has it. Ben Simmons doesn't have it. Brandon Ingram is good, but he doesn't have the killer instinct. It.
You know.
And
you know who has it.
Point out where I would trade him.
Mm-hmm.
If I could get a player of a certain caliber, I would be willing, open to trading him, along with Eric Bledsoe, of course.
Stephen A. this morning had something very interesting to say about Devin Booker, who dropped 40 yesterday.
He's a monster.
I want you to hear this, Shane.
Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
I'm saying it on national TV. Devin Booker
said it.
Is the next Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
It is official. His first playoff appearance. And the brother's the number one option, averaging over 28, dropped 40 in a triple-double in the first game of the conference finals. And just the way he plays, he's an assassin.
Shane, to your point, it's a longer portion of that bite, but you either have it or you don't. I go back to David Grubb's comments from Hard in the Paint months ago when I was like, well, you know, we'll see. Zion's got to get there. He goes, well, what are you waiting to be great for? Go be great. He's absolutely right. Kobe was taking game-winning shots his rookie season. He missed them. But that was him. That's who he is.
How you learn.
And you either have that or not. And that's the thing, Shane, that you bring up. I look at this Pelicans roster. Who is that guy? You either are inherently that or not. Can I teach you, you know, different parts of your game? Can I teach you how to study film more? Yeah. But you inherently have to have some recipes.
And football, stuck around 7 years instead of jumping, kicking, and running to another team.
Yeah.
Because it's too much and win. I like it.
No doubt. Thank you, Shane, for your phone call, man. Appreciate it as always. Oh, my goodness. Head coach Sean Payton has responded to Alvin Kamara.
I saw that.
Yeah. Alvin says, I need some time. Got a new job with NASCAR. Sean responds next on ESPN New Orleans. You just turn your pretty head and walk away.
Heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in first comprehensive sports medicine program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003, top of next hour. Andrea Legretta is going to join us, new voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Was the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. Just got that job last week. Jordan, we'll talk to him about that was one game in the 12th inning. They had a lot of late-inning walk-off games, huh, so far in Omaha. Mississippi State winning yesterday over Texas. Tonight you got two games going. Vandy, NC State at 6, Stanford, Arizona coming up at 1 o'clock. And did you see yesterday? You know, I'm just kind of winding down Father's Day, Jordan. And I saw a very interesting tweet, and it had to do with Mike Bianco, head coach of Ole Miss. Remember, we left last week, basically, at any moment here, he was going to be given the job, right?
Either him or
Cliff
Godwin.
Yeah, but it was more than likely Todd Walker said, I'll be your hitting coach. It just really seemed like that. Oh, guess what happened over the weekend? Yesterday.
Contract.
Yeah. Ole Miss announcing yesterday, Mike Bianco, contract extension. He'll remain as the Rebels head baseball coach.
We will have Wilson Alexander to come on tomorrow because he also posted a piece yesterday about this, and he's been on it throughout the entire year, or ever since the news was released that Paul Maneri is going to be stepping down. So we will have him at some point trying to work on 12:30. If it's not that time, it'll be somewhere in those 3 hours.
Now, Tennessee did not win its game over there, and lots of people like their head coach. Again, Corbin with Vandy. Where are we when it comes to who's going to – have you thrown in your name into consideration?
Me? I did it right when I heard the news about Paul.
Okay. Look, I said this a while back. This is why I would have looked at it a certain way, and I would have gone about it a certain way to where it looks like you're making the decisions, whereas right now, truth or not, because I'm seeing people tweet, you know, okay, everybody's a source, right? Everybody is close to the program in Twitter.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm saying no real offers have been given. Just, you know, no official offers have been given. So all of this is just, okay. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But it definitely does come across, doesn't it? Sullivan in Florida, and there's some things there that we that's not our guy. Okay, well, who's next? We like this Pat Casey. Whoa, didn't get the public support for that, right? Mike Bianco, he's our guy. He is our guy. Checks all the boxes. Extension. Is it Cliff Godwin now? And when we spoke to somebody out of Greenville last week, you know, again, if you're a guy that wins over there, do you want to go into the situation where, again, it's going to be a different level of expectation and pressure? I know a lot of people around the LSU program right now, they love Corbin. Why would you leave Vanderbilt? You won in 14 and 19, and, you know, you're playing again today, and you won your first game in Omaha. What if they win this year? Why would you leave? You're their Burtman. You know? Jack, thanks for calling here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you? Hello, Jack?
Yeah, Gus?
Yeah, man, how are you?
Hello? Okay. Gus, what do you think happens with college? You know, you have universities playing at a whole different. I imagine, like, for instance, Tulane, I don't think the athletic department makes a profit, but it's evidently worth it for schools like Tulane to continue to play sports. I mean, do you think the big schools eventually have to share revenue with them?
That's very interesting because my initial feeling on that and what I've seen, at least people that are smarter than me and cover collegiate sports differently, is that's why you're going to see this faction, the splitting. It's been talked about in the past when it came to football. Your Power Five is just going to go off and do their thing that they can sort of control and sort of do what they can do because they can operate differently based off of what you're saying, like financially, right? So your Power Five schools and conferences can still go do that. And with them, guess what comes? The TV contracts. So I don't know what Mark Emmert's doing, but you need to start to take this seriously, whether you like it or not, you know? But the name, image, and likeness stuff, and I'm looking at my Twitter timeline feed right now, and it's senator after senator, congressional person after congressional person, talking about how there now is a sense of urgency to get this name, image, and likeness wording down and law, and in particular, additional health benefits and things of that nature. Like, everyone is kind of doing something, even these Power Five school athletic directors. Ross Dellinger tweeted that this morning, that as the ruling was coming out, emails were being sent of, hey, we need to get our own, like, you know, LSU's drafting their own thing. Alabama's going to draft their own NIL. They're wanting that individual schools draft up their own name, image, and likeness rules rather than having the NCAA or Congress say, here are your rules. Here's what you got to do with health benefits. Here's how you got to compensate. So schools right now are going, hey, cancel what we got this week because we need to draft our own stuff right now so they can somewhat control this. So it's happening. It's not a matter of when now. I mean, or if. It's just when. And it is going to change things, Jack, is what I said. And I'm not dooming and glooming it or saying it's all that, but if more money is going to get shared or be given and things are going to change, you're going to have, as Charles Barkley said, the chasm, which is already big in certain sports, is going to exponentially grow. Now, if you're a fan of those schools, Jack, doesn't matter to you, right? I mean, if you're a Bama fan, right, you don't care. I mean, if you're an LSU fan, you don't care. You're in the haves. If you're a school that is in the have-nots, you're going to almost have your own different faction. You know, maybe it'll be D1 plus for the Power Fives, and then everybody else will be D1, you know? I don't know, man. It's just going to be interesting to see, especially when the TV revenue, if it stays or goes, and this 12-team playoff. What if this 12-team playoff, Jack, is just on schools and conferences that agree to go into, say, I don't know, D1 plus, whatever, you know?
All right. Oh no, Gus, like you were kind of saying before, I know you got to get to a break, but mm-hmm. Like you were saying before, nothing on the Supreme Court goes nothing. And you had maybe the most conservative member of the court just rip the NCAA a new a-hole. They better figure something out quickly. Yeah.
she didn't, you know, I mean, she didn't give like just, hey, this is my thought and view. She said, quote, all of the restaurants in a region cannot come together to cut cooks' wages on the theory that customers prefer to eat food from low-paid cooks. Law firms can't conspire to cabin lawyers' salaries in the name of providing legal services out of the love of the law. Hospitals cannot agree to cap nurses' income in order to create a purer form of helping the sick. News organizations cannot join forces to curtail pay to reporters to preserve, quote, a tradition of public-minded journalism. And finally, movie studios can't collude to slash benefits to camera crews to, quote, kindle a spirit of amateurism in Hollywood. Price-fixing labor is price-fixing labor. Jack, you said it. She, I mean, took a katana sword to the NCAA.
And, guys, one more question if you could address it after the news. Mm-hmm. Or how can CP3 get back to the series? I mean, does he have to sit out to 2 weeks? If you could talk about that after the break.
Yeah, no doubt. In short, right, it's depending on his results. When he has as many he has to have at least two negatives in a row in 24 hours and 48 hours and things of that nature. So, that's it. I mean, that's the big difference, you know. I'll try to get a more specified answer to you, but that's how they were talking about it. I would guess you'll see him game 3, right? Would be my guess.
Right.
I don't know. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, though. Hour 1 has been brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. I heat up. I can't cool.
Wow, look at the talent here tonight. What's up, Shameless? Oh, hey, 90 Day Fiancé. Grey's Anatomy, uh-huh, I see you. Futurama, looking good. Blackish, come here. Solar Opposites, looking fire. The Handmaid's Tale, shrill. What's up, Palm Springs? Don't be weird about it. With everything you love, the choice is easy. Time to have Hulu.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like Taylor Swift choosing what to wear.
It's looking kind of chilly out today. I think I'll go with a cardigan.
Yep, even easier than that. And with our top-rated app, you can bank anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
This is Sarah's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
Driving cross-country with two young children is ambitious, to say the least. Then our check engine light came on. We pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts and they tested it. Turned out it was a faulty sensor. They referred us to a great mechanic just down the street and we were back on the road in no time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You know him?
To be honest with you, Fitz, this letter will not change a lot for me.
You love her.
There's no simple solution how to move forward. You mentioned if you could go back in time.
Sarah Spain, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz.
We're back.
He's not going to feel it the same way like a Harden or a Westbrook.
Today is a dark, dark day for the New York Knicks.
He's allowed to benefit from the hype of us promoting him to MVP level.
And they let him go for nothing.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly.